Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks for Wall Street Reporter. And today I'm speaking with Mark McCauley. He's the CEO of Melior Resources. The stock symbol is MLR on the TSX Venture. Mark, welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Jack, and thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Can you start off by telling us what exactly Melior does?
Certainly. Melior is a TSXV listed company, and our primary asset is the Gunnedah ilmenite apatite mine in Queensland, Australia. And we have just reopened that project, restarted that project, and are in production as we speak and ramping up to commercial production by the middle of 2019. So we're going through a very interesting phase at the moment, very exciting phase. And it's transformational for this company, going from a small company with no revenue and no income to a company that is forecast to generate cash flow by the middle of this year.
This sounds exciting. Now, what exactly is it that you are mining?
So we mine ilmenite and apatite. Ilmenite is a titanium feedstock. Its primary use around the world is for pigment manufacturing, and pigment is a very white powder that goes into all sorts of consumables, paints, inks, plastics, and it makes those coatings, paints very opaque. So it cuts the sun's light, it's ultraviolet resistant. And it makes the paints in everyday life vibrant and ensures that the colours are very strong. So it's used all around the world, and 95% of titanium feedstock is used in the manufacture of titanium pigment. The other 5% is used in the manufacture of titanium metal. But all of our product goes into the manufacture of titanium pigment, and we sell most of our product to Japan, Korea, and China.
Okay, and the mine is in Australia, so it's geographically convenient.
That's right. That's right. The mine's in Queensland, Australia, which is convenient. It's a 14-day ship to China and Japan, So we're right on their doorstep. So we are a perfect location for providing commodities to China and Japan.
So this ilmenite, I'll spell it for anybody who's listening, maybe if they haven't had a chance to read it, it's ilmenite. So this is primarily used for paint.
That's correct. That's correct. It gives the paint the very opaque properties and the vibrancy of colours that
okay.
you see around. So the demand for titanium feedstock is GDP linked. So as GDP, world GDP grows or sovereign GDP grows, so does the demand for titanium feedstock. So it's growing at about 3% per year is the demand.
3%, okay. And how is this priced?
It's actually quite opaque pricing, Jack, and there is no index around the world. There are some consulting newsletters that you can get to get pricing information, but it's really once you're in the market, as we are, we have a whole lot of customers that we negotiate with, and we usually have good relationships with half a million customers, and on a shipment by shipment basis. We negotiate the pricing, that's generally how it's priced. About 3 years ago, the price for a ton of ilmenite was around $80 a ton. That was at the very bottom of the cycle.
$80
a ton.
Okay.
Today, the equivalent pricing is about $160 a ton. So the pricing has moved up significantly in the last couple of years, and we think that going forward, the supply-demand will be in balance. Demand will remain relatively strong, particularly driven by China, growing at about 3% per year. And the demand side, there are no big projects on the short or medium term horizon, which will come in and flood the market on the demand side. So supply demand, we think, will be in balance and quite stable for the next 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
So a good time to be bringing a project online.
And how much are you currently producing and selling?
Well, we're in ramp up at the moment. So in November, which is our first month of production, we produced just under 2,000 tonnes of ilmenite. In December, we produced just over 5,000 tonnes of ilmenite. So we'll be ramping up to about 14,000 tonnes of ilmenite per month by the middle of this year.
Okay.
And so that's about 180,000 tonnes of ilmenite per year. And on top of that, or in addition to that, we produce phosphate rock, which is goes into producing phosphate fertilizer. And our phosphate rock is a very clean rock. It has no cadmium or heavy minerals. And so it is very amenable for the production of organic fertilizer. And we sell all our organic, all our phosphate rock to domestic agri product producers in Australia for the production of organic fertilizer. So that's a great sector to be in as well. And apatite makes up about 15% of our revenue. So ilmenite is our primary product, but the phosphate rock is important as well.
Okay. And so maybe if you can kind of give us an overview of you know, the economics of this. What kind of revenues are you, you know, forecasting for 2019?
In 2019, we'll have spent 6 months ramping up. So really 2020 will be our first full year of production. And in 2020, we'll produce about 180,000 tonnes of ilmenite, and at today's prices of $175 a tonne US, that's a bit over $30 million US dollars in ilmenite revenue, and there's about $5 million of revenue from phosphate rock. So about $37 or $38 million US dollars in revenue. And operating costs are forecast to be about $23 million. So cash flow is forecast to be quite strong in 2020 going forward.
So I'm just doing the math here. So it's roughly $15 million in profit.
That's right. That's right. $15 or $16 million US in profit in 2020.
Okay.
Is what our PEA and our public information is forecast, and that's we're on track for that.
Okay. And but so you're already producing, but at which point this year are you cash flow positive now, or when will that happen?
We're forecast to become cash flow positive in the second quarter of calendar 2019. So by the middle of this year, Jack, we're forecast to be cash flow positive. We have to get up to a certain production rate in order to achieve that. And in any startup of a mining operation, it takes a period of time to commission that mine, and that's what we're going through at the moment. And we're on track there. That's going well, and so we're on trajectory to be cash flow positive by the middle of this year. That's a big turning point for us, of course.
Okay, and you know, it's interesting. You know, 90% of the resource companies we talk to are usually in the precious metals, or you know, copper, or, you know, some of the battery metals now, most of them are exploration or, you know, very early stage. So your story is obviously it's quite different, but also you know, it's interesting that you're kind of in these, you know, I guess industrial minerals, would this be called?
Yeah, this is industrial minerals. That's what we call it. And in fact, we call ourselves an industrial minerals mining group. Our aspirations for expansion and growth will cover ilmenite, phosphate rock, and other opportunities that occur in those minerals, plus other industrial minerals, silica sand, that sort of thing. That's right.
Now, what made you choose to focus on this particular mineral versus something else, which is kind of sexier, like gold?
Well, it comes down to we had this project and already, Jack. This project has been in production before, and because of the severe downturn that occurred in 2014-15, it was put on care and maintenance, and so we had the project. We looked around at a whole lot of other opportunities, eventually came back to the project that we already owned and said, "Well, this is the best project that we can find. We know it very well. We know that the price will come back. Technically, we understand this project. We understand the market." And sure enough, and that was back in late 2016. We spent 2017 getting funding. We started the reconstruction in early 2018, and into production as forecast in November 2018, and are doing exactly now what we said we were going to do 12 months ago. That's what has led to that. We already had the asset. It was a good opportunity. The market's turned, and we think we're in a very good position.
Okay. So for anybody that may not be familiar with the story, can you kind of give us maybe a brief history of Meliort and how the project came into being and it's the history, the production history of this project?
Sure. Melior has been listed on the TSXV for quite some time and has been in other commodities. In 2014, Melior was looking around for a project to acquire. It had some cash. It came across a private equity group, which I was running at the time, and we had acquired Goondicum out of administration. We were looking for a vehicle to progress the project. We did a scrip-for-scrip transaction where Melior acquired Goondicum in return for shares. And so I went with Goondicum from the private equity fund across to Melior to run Melior and run Goondicum, and have been there since 2014. So it's taken us a little while to get Goondicum to where it is today. We put some money in, increased production significantly, improved the processing facility up to a point where we could now say it's almost gold-plated. It's an excellent state-of-the-art processing facility. We have ensured that the products that we produce are top-quality products and are the best, as good as any in the world, in terms of quality criteria for both the phosphate rock and the ilmenite. We have done everything that we think we've needed to do to get Goondicum to a top-quality project with good margins and good longevity. So that's where we are at the moment.
Okay. So you're in production and you're gonna be breaking even on cash flow, I guess, in the second quarter, as you said. So at this point, do you have any capital needs going forward?
We have only small capital needs, Jack. We have spent all our capital. A small capital spend come mid-year of about $750,000 to expand the phosphate rock output. But relatively small numbers in the scheme of things. There are some things that we can do to Goondicum to optimize it and enhance it. It has some good exploration upside in the surrounding tenements, which we own. We're already looking at expanding output. And so between the exploration and potential expansion over the next 18 months, there's some real opportunity to supercharge this project and make it really quite spectacular. So,
okay. And how, so there's not, I guess what I was kind of getting at is will there be any kind of dilution in the shares by 2020?
Well, we don't anticipate that, Jack. And it depends on the opportunities that we come across. We have a we have aspirations to grow this business. We don't want to remain a one mine company in the junior space. And so my experience is growing companies. And if we come across an opportunity, we think that it's going to add value to shareholders, we could look at that source of capital funding. And we also have, as I just alluded to, some optimization potential for Goondicum to both extend the life and increase the output. If we want to fast track that, one option is to fund that through equity raising.
Okay.
So we don't have anything planned at the moment, but we'll see what the opportunities arise in the next 18 months.
So how many shares are outstanding now?
Just under 30 million.
30 million. Okay. So it's, if you have 15 million in gross next year, that would be pretty decent.
That's right. That's right. Our share price certainly hasn't reflected our changing status as a producer. We think that will definitely come, and we will make a concerted effort in the next couple of months to be telling the market our story and ensuring that everyone's aware of the transition that we are making and have made. So I think that that's got to be positive for our share price.
Okay. So, Mark, so you kind of touched briefly on, optimizing the project and increasing the value of the existing mine. Can you kind of talk a little bit more about, what kind of upside is available here?
Yeah, okay. Like most mining projects, the hard part is actually getting it into production to start with. And then quite often the low-hanging fruit or the very attractive investment dollars will come in the second stage. And that's exactly the case here. Now that we're in production at a production rate of 180,000 odd tonnes per year, to get some incremental increase in that won't require a significant amount of capital and will be very attractive on a marginal basis. So that's the sort of thing that we will look at, is increasing output by 15 or 20% at a very attractive investment rate. That additional 15 or 20% production will have significantly lower operating costs than the base load. And we currently have a 10-year mine life. That 10-year mine life can be extended significantly. We have plenty of resources in the surrounding mining tenements. There's a lot of ore in the ground in our area that we have proved up to a level that we know the mineralization is there. So there's no shortage of material to process, that's what, one of the things that we'll be focused on in the next 18 months is life extension at Goondicum and project expansion to get the best out of this project.
We're excited about that. You're selling roughly, or your projections are based on roughly $175 US, right? $175 US per ton?
Well, that's about what it is at the moment, and okay. We're at the low part of the season, so we would expect those prices to improve over the next couple of months by mid-year. That's quite often what they do. And our long, medium, long-term forecast based on the industry consultant, TZMI, is up around $200 per tonne. So when we see prices move up to those levels, which they were at not so long ago, and they've come back on a seasonal trend, those prices that, or those forecasts that we previously talked about will increase again. So, and that's all upside for us.
So if it goes to 200, that's 10 million plus to the bottom line, really.
Almost. That's correct.
Okay. Let's talk about, like, what's the worst case situation in terms of what's your break even cost?
About $125 a ton.
$125. Okay. Also, I think you briefly touched on, your growth strategy. So can you tell us about your growth strategy going forward? What other type of projects would you be looking for, and would be your acquisition criteria?
Yeah, we have a very strong aspiration to grow this business and grow it in a way that enhances shareholder value. So we're not into growth for the sake of becoming bigger, but we're into growth because we think that that's the best way to add genuine value to the share price. So we have an asset, and that's Goondicum. We have been talking about restarting it for the last 18 months. We've now done that. Over the next couple of months, we will get that up to commercial production and start generating genuine cash flow from that asset. We'll then continue to look at how we optimize that existing asset and get the most out of that, because that's the lowest risk, highest return pathway for us. In addition to that, we'll be looking at targeted M&A, that requires patience and analysis. We'll be looking at small companies that we can either merge with, do a combination with, or in fact purchase outright, or even get purchased and vend ourselves into a bigger portfolio. So all those things are on the table. We'll look at industrial minerals generally, so titanium feedstocks such as ilmenite, phosphate rock, silica sand, any of the industrial minerals that, as long as they're good quality products and reasonable margin operations, we're interested in looking at. So we think that there's lots of opportunity for that, particularly once you have an operating project and have real-time operating information and have real contacts with customers, and that intelligence allows you to assess projects in a much more accurate way than colleagues without operating projects who are sitting off the side still aspiring to get into production. So we think we have a competitive advantage there. So that's the plan, and is to use the current asset as a foundation and to build off that and use that for targeted M&A over the next 18 months.
Okay. So Mark, can you, tell us about your background and, some of the other key players on the team?
Yeah, I'm a mining engineer with 30 years experience in mining in Australia and other parts of the world. I was with several large Australian mining resource companies in the 90s, and then I moved into the investment side of resources and was with a private equity fund for, I think, 7 years. We had a portfolio of assets, including coal, gold, and titanium feedstock. So we picked up Goondicum as part of that portfolio. And that's when I found Melior Resources and did a deal to back Goondicum into Melior in a stock-for-stock transaction. Because the original owners of Goondicum wanted to retain exposure to that project. And then I went with Goondicum across to Melior to run Melior and have been there since 2014. So Certainly my background is in developing projects and growing companies, and that's what I enjoy, and I've had some success in that over the last 20 years.
Okay. Can you kind of maybe recap and sort of tell us, you know, what are the, you know, key milestones coming up over the next, 12 months that investors should keep an eye on?
Okay. What I'm particularly happy about is that over the last 12, 18 months, we have said that we're going to do certain things, and I have been out talking to investors about that. And looking back, we can put big ticks beside all those things, including refinancing and getting some money together to restart Goondicum, actually restarting that project, going through the six-month reconstruction project, bringing that in on time and on budget, and then commencing production in November 2018, as we said we would. And now we're ramping up production, and we're on the trajectory, the exact trajectory that that we have put in front of investors and said this is what we're going to do. So we have done everything that we have said we're going to do over the last 12 months. And so going forward, over the next 12 months, we intend to continue to deliver on what we say we're going to do. And the key for us in the next 12 or 18 months is to ensure that Goondicum becomes cash positive by the middle of this year. We will look at optimising that and getting the best value out of that project. And that's the lowest risk, lowest cost, highest return investment that we have. So we'll keep squeezing that as hard as we can and ensuring we get maximum value out of that. We'll pay down our debt and likely refinance that over the next 18 months. And we will continue our search for appropriate mergers and acquisitions to enhance shareholder value.
Okay. Mark, my last question is going to be, in your opinion, based on, your investing background in recent years in the industry, what are the key three reasons why investors should consider buying your stock today?
Well, that's an easy one, Zach. We are going through a genuine transition at the moment. We're transitioning from a small company with a project that is on care and maintenance, with no production and no revenue, to having actually restarted that project on time and on budget. So we're starting to develop a track record. We're coming into that region of revenue. We'll sell our first cargo within the next month and start getting revenue. We'll start becoming cash positive, which is a massive change for a small company like ourselves. And that'll happen by mid-year. We will keep consolidating and improving on that. And that will have completed a massive transition or transformation of this company. And our share price, I think, is lagging significantly. And so there's an opportunity for student investors to take a good look at us and say, these guys have delivered on what they said they're going to deliver on. And over the next couple of months, they'll continue to do that. The share price is lagging. It's actually quite low at the moment. We have a market cap of around $15 million. And given that our peers are in a much stronger position or have much healthier valuations, that's a great opportunity, I think, to have a good look at investing in Melior as a group. Low share price, going through a significant transformation, proven track record of management team to continue to build on an operating asset to add additional value.
Okay. In theory, if everything works out in 2020, what kind of you kind of mentioned some numbers, but based on the 175 a ton, what kind of, I don't know if you feel comfortable making a projection, but what kind of earnings would Melior be able to show at that point?
Our PEA indicates in that first 12 months at forecast prices of about $20 million earnings before tax. So that's, that's that's not a $15 million company valuation.
Okay, so that's
So
about 70, is that 70 cents a share roughly? 60, what
No, it
is it?
won't be 70. That's about right, yeah.
So yeah, so somewhere around, I don't have my calculator, but somewhere between that
Yeah,
65,
that's
70
about
cents.
right.
Okay, and the stock is
That's
fit.
about right, Jack.
Yeah, so it looks like there's some
And
good upside based on where, what is it, the 55 cents today, Canadian.
definitely, definitely.
So we look forward to Mark, I want to thank you for your time, and we look forward to hearing more from you in the months ahead.
Appreciate it, Jack. Thank you.